This sermon was given on April 13th, year 2006, Maundy Thursday.
People looking at this, they're not looking at the same thing you and I are even looking at. Now, that our Lord referred to that also as the veil of darkness, which he said, their senses were made dull about the Jews unto this present day. For in the reading of the Old Testament, the veil remaineth not taken away in the reading of the Old Testament. He says, but when they shall be converted to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. He says, when every time they read Moses, there's a veil of darkness. Mm-hmm. Now, modern theology tells us, well, that guy, it's not his fault anymore because he really is seeing black. Modern 1880s onward, you know, follow your own conscience. Truth is what you believe it is and whether it's the truth or not. But what when you get to that point, first of all, you take the first stage. The guy really is seeing white. So he's lying, you know. He's lying to you because he's full of pride. He doesn't want to admit you're right. But when he gets to that end stage where he really is seeing black, that only tells us this guy is in trouble. He is so evil. He is so bad that God allowed him to be able to fall under this operation of error. That's really what we're looking at in the world today. When you're dealing with your family members and we are trying to convert them, and we've done our best, we've given the brochures, we give them the papal bulls, Cantate Domino, the papal deposition teachings, all the heresies of these current apostate antipopes, and we're trying to show it to them. Now, it depends on how much they're listening to you. But most of the times, at least with most of our family members, it's in one ear and out the other. It's total religious indifferentism. They don't even care at all. They don't even care at all. Now, the big problem we have to worry about is how far do we deal with these people and how far we got to worry about our own souls if we're taking too much time with them, spending too much time after they're not listening. And then, is that lens cap open too?
Yeah, it's open.
Okay. Because then you'd be offended. Because then you're, if you spend too much time with them, when you shouldn't be, we'll get into that in a minute, you're offending God. And not only if God said, why are you loving to be around them more than me? Do you see how they're blaspheming me? They don't care about me. If you love me, you should. Now, the first thing I talk about, here's the two stages, the hardest part we had with family members. If you really are a good Catholic and you really are a good one, you want to be a good Catholic, the devil can trap you on this one. I call it false charity. Richard, if you don't talk to them, who's going to help them? Oh, Richard, if you got to go back there, and you better go and say. But you know, I tried that for many years. I went to God, said, they ain't listening, Richard. They're not even looking at tapes. You gave it to them. He says, how, he says to me, when I called you, Richard, how many words did I have to speak for you to listen? Well, Lord, when I was ready, I perked right up. When you prepared my heart, when I was ready to listen, I only needed one pamphlet, one brochure to spur me on. In other words, if you're keeping working with your family members so many times and they're not listening, you go over there, like I did with my family, and I said, where's the tapes I sent you? Where's the journals? They had it up in the attic collecting dust. I said, you people don't care at all. They weren't listening, and if they did, they were being obstinate. But it got to the point where they weren't even listening. They listened for about 10, 15 minutes. Okay, he's talking about religion again, all right? Okay, enough of the religion now. Okay, but now what are you now? Now you're into a pure paganistic, naturalistic conversation, and what purpose does that serve? Now, but the false charity could even dupe a good Catholic to make you stay with them longer than you should. There's a big danger in all of this. You have to realize, and God said this to me, he said, Richard, only my grace can move a heart, and I don't even interfere with free will, and I'm God. You can't force the person to listen if he doesn't want to. You can't do that. That's all right. That's all we can do. Huh?
It's St. Jude. Get his name.
Oh, that was a cheap one anyway. Yeah. We'll get another one. Don't worry. That's all right. That's all right. That was the very cheapest, lightest.
Yeah.
That's all right. Just.
There's only 1,000. Yeah. There's only 1,000 of them in Mexico.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Very
St. Jude. You'll understand.
St. Jude, give me another St. Jude.
I'm too hard.
Thank you, Ron. I really appreciate that. I really do.
We'll just pick these pieces up so long as kids get
out. I like that little puff of me.
He was praying to St. Jude.
He hugged him too hard.
He hugged him. He's stronger than he thinks. That one was real. Remember, it was like pushing.
Yeah,
we we picked one up, we broke it. We had to go get another one.
Yeah. You asked a question in the middle of your
yeah.
How do we discern whether or not someone really has hope for goodwill? I mean, they're yeah. holding discourse. You're challenging them. They seem to. We come from a predominantly Protestant family.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. At what point do we just totally throw in the towel? I mean, if they're willing to have discourse and talk about scripture and so forth.
Oh, if they're willing to talk about scripture and you can get their ear and they're listening, you are bound to talk to them. You must talk to them.
Good.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you get anybody's ear, I'm more than happy to talk to them. So I don't know what you're. That's what we're going to get into, the parameters. My family happens to be so bad. You mean talk about scripture? You have a better chance converting a Protestant than you do a full-on-way Catholic.
I would agree with that.
And so if you get their ear and they are listening, you are obliged to continue to visit and talk and try to convert them. The problem comes in when they become obstinate and it's clear to you that they are no longer listening. And because if you are doing your job properly, two things are going to happen. If they're of goodwill, they will keep asking questions and not mine. Okay. If they're not really of goodwill at the moment, it doesn't mean they can't get hurt later, but they're obstinate about it, and because you have to tell them they're going to hell. Yeah, or so you're. See, the big danger in this too with family members is what I worry about. And I always do because I do it right away. I fear that if I don't say the right thing and tell them they're going to hell, I'm committing the sin of omission, and then I'm going to go to hell. Our Lord says that in Ezekiel. Yeah. Yeah. Our Lord says if you do not speak to the wicked man and convert him from his wicked and evil ways, he will die in his iniquity, and you will suffer hell also. So that's the one thing you first of all have to keep in mind. The fear of God will give you the strength to do that. Now, you always have to say to your daughter or to your sisters or brothers, look, I love you. I'm your mother. But now I really love you so much, I want to save your soul. You can't get to heaven where you are, you're going to go to hell. You have to tell them that. Now, if they're really, really bad-willed or obstinate, they're going to get so angry at you, and it might be like in the case of Paul's family, so angry and vicious and against you, what more can you do? You've done your job. You can say, look, you tried to evoke them as much as you could. You try to get as much truth out to them. They go, they heard what you're saying. But if it gets to that point where they don't want to hear it, they're blasphemous, they get angry at you, there's going to be a natural separation like oil and vinegar. They don't want you in their house. And you shouldn't want them if they're going to come in your house and try to be preaching to you and you're not allowed to preach to them. The whole thing is you always have to be having the possibility when the moment is open. I'm not saying you got to preach to them constantly, but you got to know that during the day I can get my preaching in sometime. I can speak to them about 15 minutes about it, and they're going to listen, or 20 minutes. But if they become obstinate, and you're doing the right job, and tell them they're going to hell, you get that one group that just...
Thank you.
Now, my family, I used to tell them all the time, they say, I know, Richard, I'm going to hell, I know, I'm going to hell. Okay, here's Rich, I'm going to hell. You know, but what happened with my family, they were so religiously indifferent, they didn't care about anything, and they didn't really want to listen about it anymore. And they would sometimes get real, when I really started pressing, they would get angry. Like my father called me a Catholic Osama bin Laden. And he said, I'm a Catholic Malcolm X.
Oh my
God. I said, no, Dad. I said, Malcolm X was a Muslim. I'm a Catholic. You leave Ponto. There was two people fighting and killing people with swords. Catholics and Muslims. Catholics were right. The Muslims were wrong. I said, because I'm zealous? Because I'm convicted? This is how far we got away from true Catholicism. When you read about the saints fighting against heretics. But this is the kind of thing you get. And so they don't want to hear about it anymore. So what happens when I would go over to my house, you know that after about 15 minutes, they don't want to hear nothing about religion no more. Mm-hmm. Now everything is downhill from there on in. I am now participating in their pagan daily activities, which is watching their stupid TV shows, telling their dumb jokes. Mm-hmm. And then you begin to feel like a pagan after, like when I visited them for 2 or 3 days, the second day I felt like a pagan again. I no longer felt Catholic. I said, I got to get out of this place. Mm-hmm. The talk, the conversation, and I no longer could express Catholicism anymore to them because they were no longer interested. And they said, oh, Rich, why don't you come and play games? Well, I like playing games. I like recreation, but I couldn't play the game with them because of the things they talk. And then you'd have to be rebuking them 24 hours a day, or you're going to be committing sins of omission. Because you're, no, Dad, don't say that. No, that's immodest. No, that's not right. This is not correct. Oh, shut up, you know. And so the point is, you got to come to the point and find out how much are these people listening to you. And the thing I'll get back, which is the most dangerous, and this is a serious problem, I quote first, Ecclesiasticus 27:10. It says, birds of a like resort together. It says, birds of a like resort unto their own kind. Amos 3:3, shall two walk together except they be agreed? Here's my point in this. Who do you love more? Do you love God more and other Catholics, or do you love your non-Catholic family members more? You have to sit down and examine your conscience and say, who would I rather be around? Who would I rather have as my friends? For one, Catholics are never allowed to socialize with non-Catholics. They can be your friends when you're talking to them in business, but you can never socialize with them. You can't be friendly with them. You can't play with them. You've got to be very careful with that kind of business there. Because once you start socializing with them, that means I'm choosing to take my recreation time, and I want to spend it with them. You have to spend your social and recreation time with Catholics. When Jesus ate with sinners, it was to convert them. That was it. If they weren't going to listen to him and they mocked him, he's not going back to eat with them again. And he's not going to palsy arousing around them, go out to the bars and start socializing with them. He was there to convert them. So you've got to examine your heart and say, St. James says, in James 4:4, he says, know you not that friendship of the world is the enemy of God? Whosoever therefore shall become a friend of the world will become an enemy of God? You've got to determine, where do you want your friends to be, your true friends? When you see that we all have the faith, God will give us all the one mind, one spirit, and we have true joy amongst our Catholic brothers. Everybody else out there is alien to us. We love them, and we care about them, we want to convert them, but we cannot socialize with them, because they are not like us. And they will send us to hell if we become socially friendly with them. They're going to teach us their dirty ways. They're going to teach us to break God's commandments. They're going to, simply, what happened with my family member, by just sitting there, I felt dirty. Listening to their conversations, listening to their stupidities, listening to their heresies, listening to their dumb jokes, and you're just and you go, what am I doing here? Basically, what am I doing here? The point is, the closer you get to God, and I'm going to do some readings on this from the Imitation of Christ, the more you begin to love God so much and other